As we look at the Bible for just a few moments in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29. So let's just go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 29. And we're going to look at, a familiar passage of Scripture, something that you've heard probably a lot, but maybe we'll look at it from a different angle. So Jeremiah chapter 29, we're going to look at verse number 4, and we're going to look at it several verses tonight. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse number 4, just keep your hand there, and we'll go back and look at it for a moment. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer. And tonight I want to preach on the thought, what do you do when you feel like you're stuck? Amen. Somebody say that with me. What do I do when I feel like I'm stuck? All right. So tonight when I was getting dressed for church and I brought my daughter with me and she took a nap and I said to Reese, well, Reese, it's time to get up. We're going to church, you know. And Reese said in her broken English, we've already been to church. I said, yeah, I know, but we're going back to church because daddy's going to preach. And she said to me in her broken English, she said, Daddy, I just can't do this. Oh, my word. I was like, well, baby girl, when I was growing up in church, we went to church much more than what you go. So somebody say amen. Amen. She said, I just can't do it. Well, so Sister Reese, I'm glad you come to church tonight. So tonight, what do you do when you feel like you're stuck? What do you do when you feel like you're stuck? Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. Thank you for this wonderful group of people that love you. Open our hearts that we would hear, understand, and that your word would bear much fruit. And everyone shouted a great big amen. You know, you got to be careful when you read the Bible that you just don't read your interpretation in the Bible. One of the things I've discovered is that the Bible is 100% true. It's infallible. But your interpretation of the Bible is not always true. And sometimes we read into the Bible our own thoughts, perspectives, views, and opinions. What we have to understand is when you look at the Scripture, it is true, but your interpretation of it sometimes is not always true. So when you also look at the Bible, you can also see, to help us understand the truth of the Bible, you also got to look at the history in which it was written in. The historical context. I'm just going to give you just a very brief historical context of Jeremiah chapter 29 in just a few moments. But what I find intriguing is this. When you read the Bible, it seems to me there are three themes that constantly come up in Scripture. From the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, there seems to be three themes or topics that come up a lot. The first one is the death and the resurrection of Jesus. You can see that in the Old Testament as a typology, and you also see that in the New Testament as the story and the fulfillment of the story. You also see the story of the Exodus. Remember where Moses led God's people out of the land of bondage and led them through the wilderness to a land called Canaan. That story is repeated all throughout the Bible. Also, the third thing that you see in the Bible that's also repeated over and over and over is the Babylonian exile. Now, you know, maybe you haven't heard a lot about that because it's not a topic that you hear of often. But the Babylonian exile is simply this. The Babylonians is God's enemies. It's the people of God, their enemy. And because the people of God in the Old Testament did not repent for worshiping false gods, God said, I'm going to judge you. So God allowed the Babylonians to come in to their homeland and destroyed their homeland and took some of their people and exiled them in Babylon. And they had to live there a long time before they were allowed to go back to their homeland. So, in other words, when you read the Bible, you will see those three stories over and over. You'll see the death, the resurrection of Jesus all throughout the Bible. You'll see the exodus of Moses, where Moses led God's people out of Egypt, the land of bondage. Pharaoh led them out and led them to a new land, which was the land of Canaan or the promised land. And you will see the Babylonian exile, where the Babylonians came in to Judah, God's land, God's people, destroyed it, and took some of their people back to Babylon, and they had to live there. Just like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had to live in Babylon until they were released and to go back to their homeland. And most of them died in Babylon before they were ever released to go back to their homeland. You see, history tells us that when Babylon came into Judah, it was the year 597. 597 BC and destroyed everything. Now, it's ironic. Isn't this ironic? When the Babylonians came in and destroyed the temple and destroyed their homeland, the people of God, which were the Jews, the Israelites, the Hebrews, whatever you call them, they were scattered throughout the entire world. And it wasn't until 1948 that Israel became a nation and all of God's people started coming back to their homeland, which fulfills the prophecy of the parable of the fig tree. Jesus said that when you see the fig tree bloom, you'll know that my coming is nigh or at the door. In other words, Jesus is saying, and when Israel becomes a nation again, when God restores this people again, then you'll know my coming is nigh at the door. And my friends, Jesus is coming back. Israel became a nation in May of 1948, and that white and blue Star of David began to wave in the United Nations, and God's prophetic word was fulfilled. And as I speak right now, God is gathering his people back to Israel even now, which fulfills the prophecy. My friends, we are living in the last of the last days. You see, we are living in the last days since the time of the resurrection of Jesus. But we are living in the last of the last days right now. His coming is nigh even at the door. Can I hear an amen? Now, you see, why did the Babylonians come in to destroy Judah? Why did this happen to God's people? Because God said, if you don't repent of worshiping your false gods, if you don't repent for worshiping these false idols and serve me as the only God, I'm going to judge you. You see, sometimes people get confused about the Old Testament. You know, they look at all these names and all these books and they're like, well, this is just a bunch of confusion. Well, it's really not, because the Old Testament is about a people. It's about a place, and it's about a promise. That's what it's about. A people. Who is that people? It's God's people. It's the Jewish people. They were called the Hebrews. They were called the Israelites. And God established his people through a man by the name of Abraham. Abraham, God said to Abraham, look up. And Abraham looked up and he saw the stars of the sky. And God says, you see how many stars there is? That's how many descendants you're going to have. And I want you, Abraham, to leave your country and go to a different country and worship me as the only God. And so every person who come from the loins of Abraham and Sarah and Isaac, they are the Hebrew, they are the Jewish people. And God called Abraham to worship me as the one God. So that's the people. What was their purpose? To worship me as the one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. So you worship me as the one God. Come and worship me. Reject those false gods and worship me as the only God. And if you'll follow me as the only God, I'll give you a piece of land. And you'll be able to worship me there. And you will be a lighthouse to the world. That there's only one God. That's why when you go to Israel, the Jewish people don't really accept Christians. You know why? Because we believe in what we call the Trinity. God the Father, the God the Son, the God the Holy Ghost. And the Jews seem to think that we worship three gods instead of one God. And so that's why there's much tension because they think we worship one God. The Trinity never says we worship three gods. It is one God who expresses himself in three distinct persons. Like you have H2O. H2O can be water, vapor, and ice, but the substance is still H2O, one substance. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And so that's why the Jews will reject the Christians, and the Muslims will reject the Christians, because they don't understand the triunity of God, which is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was dying on the cross, he didn't pray to himself. He prayed to God the Father. Can I hear an amen? But yet we know that Jesus is also God. How can Jesus be God and the Father be God? That's the mystery of the incarnation. Jesus is God and man wrapped up in one person. Amen. He's 100% man and he's 100% God. He, as a man, he can cry at the tomb of Lazarus, but as God, he can raise Lazarus from the dead. As a man, he can sleep in a boat, but as God, he can get up and calm the winds and the waves. As a man, he can be hungry, but as God, he can multiply the loaf and the fish. Hallelujah. He's God and man at the one time and same time. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. So the Babylonian exile is one of those things that you see all throughout the scripture, how the enemy came in and destroyed the people of God, the temple and everything that the Jewish people love very dearly, because they rejected God. They rejected his commandment. They started worshiping other gods. And God said, listen, if you return to me, I'll give you your homeland back. I'll make sure you can come back to your homeland. 4,600 Jews were exiled to Babylon, and they had to stay in Babylon. They had to eat Babylonian food. They had to wear Babylonian clothes. They had to strip themselves of their Jewish heritage because they're prisoners of war in Babylon, even though they were raised in a Jewish culture to worship one God. And now they had to go to Babylonian culture and try to adjust living there. Can you imagine if we were taken captive by the Russians and we were taken captive to Russia and we had to live in a foreign land, eat foreign food, learn their culture, learn their language? This is what the Jewish people had to do. And they were very disheartened, because God says, if you don't repent, you will live in Babylon and they will oppress you. And now we come to the book of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is one of those prophets, a weeping prophet. You know why he's a weeping prophet? Because he would weep for the children of God and the people of God, because they failed to repent and his own people were living in Babylon. No wonder he's the weeping prophet. The Jews were discouraged. You know why they're discouraged? Because they're living in Babylon. And Jeremiah is writing the scroll to them. And the season that they're in, Jeremiah said, listen, you're going to have to be faithful to God even though you're in Babylon. And the question that you're going to have to ask yourself tonight is this: what do you do when you find yourself in a place that you never thought you would ever be? What do you do? You see, we're not the Jewish people. We're not living in Babylon. We're living in a spiritual Babylon, my friends. So what does this mean to us? What do you do when you find yourself in a season that you never thought you would ever be in? What do you do when you find yourself in a season where it's not going quite as well what you thought it should go? You see, Babylon, you're living in Babylon, and you feel like it's getting worse instead of better. What do you do when things get worse instead of it getting better? What do you do when you're in the worst season of your life? And that's what the people of God, the Jewish people, they're in Babylon. They're in the worst season of their life. It's getting worse. It's not getting better. And a prophet by the name of Jeremiah writes a scroll to them to encourage them. And I'm wondering what Jeremiah says to them. What do you say to a people who feel stuck? What do you say to a people who feel discouraged? What do you say to a people who feel as though God has left them? What do you do when you feel as though you know it's your own fault? You know you broke the commandment of the Lord, but you know that God is merciful and compassionate, and you find yourself in a season where you don't want to be? What do you do when you're waiting on God to bring you out of the worst season of your life? And that's how these people felt. And Jeremiah being inspired of the Lord. Jeremiah feeling the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He sits down and writes a letter to these people. And it starts in Jeremiah chapter 29. He begins to write to them. And it's interesting, Pastor Rhodes, this letter that he begins to write to these people, he gives them some interesting things to do. I mean, what do you do in the worst season of your life? What do you do when your life is getting worse and it's not getting better? And he writes a scroll to him and he says this, Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse number 4. This is what he says to the people of God. He says verse number 4, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all those who were carried away captive, whom I've caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. The first thing I want you to see is that God caused this. God is the one that caused these people to go to Babylon. God is the one that did it. Because they refused to repent of their sin, they refused to lay down the foreign idols, and God says, I've done it. But listen, even though it was God's will, God's promise is still seen in this. Verse number 5, and this is what he says to him. He says, I want you to build some houses. I want you to dwell in them. I want you to plant some gardens. I want you to eat some fruit. I want you to take wives, beget sons and daughters, take wives for your sons and give your daughters to your husbands so that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. Oh my goodness. I hope y'all are seeing what I'm seeing. What do you say to a group of people who feel stuck? What do you say to a group of people that feels like it's getting worse and not better? What do you say to a group of people that's discouraged, that's living in a foreign land? The prophet Jeremiah writes them a letter and he says this. He says, I want you to get married. I want you to go ahead and plant some gardens. I want you to go ahead and build your house. I want you to go ahead and live in it. My point is this. Number one, what do you do when you feel like you're stuck? Number one, you got to be productive even in the midst of your predicament. Somebody say this with me. I got to be productive in the midst of my predicament. Number one, be productive in the midst of your predicament. What did he say? He said this. He says, verse number 5, don't lose this, because if you lose this, you've lost it. He says, take wives, beget sons and daughters, so that you may have sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. In other words, he says, go ahead and live on. Go ahead and live your life. Go ahead and be productive. No matter what you're going through, just be productive. Even though it's the worst season of your life, even though it's not getting better, even though you're questioning, God, where are you at? I know it's my fault, but you're supposed to be merciful. I'm your child. Why don't you help me? You see, the prophet Jeremiah simply said, just be productive. Go ahead and build your house and live in it. Go ahead and plant your gardens because you're going to be here a long time. Go ahead and settle down and go ahead and get married. Give your children to marriage. Go ahead, get your hair done. Get your teeth fixed. Get your nails done. Go ahead. You're going to be living here a long time. Are you hearing me what I'm saying? He says, I want you to keep on living even though you're in adverse conditions. I want you to keep on doing what you're doing. I don't want you to lay down and die. I don't want you to lay under oppression and depression. I don't want you to just go ahead and pop pills to sleep and pop pills to get up and pop pills just to walk. No. I want you to come to a place in your life where you live your life in Babylon, but live it unto me. And my friends, some of us, when life is not going the way we think it should, when we feel like that it's things are getting worse instead of better, when it seems like we're in the worst season of our life, we don't have the attitude to live on. We have the attitude to give up. We have the attitude to lay down and die. But the Spirit of the Lord sent me to tell someone tonight, you got to understand, you got to be productive in the midst of your predicament. Go ahead and build your house. Go ahead, plant the gardens. Live your life and decide that you're not going to allow the predicament to overcome you in that season of your life. Hallelujah. You see, some of us are waiting for something supernatural to happen. We're waiting for some sign of sign to happen. We're waiting for God to speak to us supernaturally. But sometimes it's not that way. You've just got to make a decision that even though I'm in a foreign land, even though I'm in Babylon, even though I don't want to be here, even though it's getting worse, I've got to make up my mind that this thing is not going to destroy me. This thing is not going to defeat me. I've decided I'm going to get up. Pull myself up by the bootstraps, and I'm going to make the best of it in Babylon. Just make the best of it. Just make the best of it. Just make the best of it. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. That's the word of the Lord to somebody tonight. Just make the best of it. Hallelujah. You say, well, Pastor, my dreams are not happening. I thought I would be able to do that. Just make the best of it now. Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to have the decision that it is the path over the plan. The plan's not working, but I got to stay on the path. Hallelujah. The plan's not working, but I stay on the path. I stay on the path of righteousness. I stay on the path of holiness. I stay on the path of serving God. My plans are not working. My dreams are not working, but I've decided I'm staying on the path because the path will always lead me to the right destination, no matter what the plan may be. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, you see, it's interesting to me. You see this attitude in Psalm 137. Go there real quickly. Psalm 137. You see this attitude of the people of God. Psalm 137. And I want you to see what happens here in the attitude of these people. In Psalm 137. And I want you to see very clearly here. What happens here in Psalm 137, if they'll put that on the board for me, please. I want you to see what happens here. This is the people of God. They're in Babylon. Look at verse number one. By the rivers of what? Babylon. By the rivers of what? Babylon. There they sat down. Yea, they what? Wept. They wept. When we remembered who? Zion. We hung our harps up on the willows in the midst of it. For there those who carried us away captive ask us of a song. And those who plundered us requested mirth, saying, sing to us, sing the songs of Zion. Verse number four, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? Y'all hearing me? This is prophetic. This is speaking of the children of God. Where are the children of God? They're in Babylon. They've been carried away to a foreign land. And here the writer is saying, Babylon has asked the people of God, will you go ahead and sing one of those songs that you used to sing when you were in church? Can you go ahead and sing one of those songs that you used to sing when you were in church? And what did the people of God say? We can't sing because we're not at our homeland. We're in a foreign land. Oh, somebody help me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Israel was at the place in their life. They didn't want to sing anymore because their home was destroyed. They didn't want to sing anymore because the temple was destroyed. They didn't want to sing anymore. They lost their joy. But let me tell you, you don't have to be in a perfect condition to worship God. Hallelujah. I said, you don't have to be in a perfect condition to worship God. Some of us is waiting for the perfect marriage and the perfect church and the perfect this for us to get our praise on. That will never happen. You got to pull yourself up and you got to learn how to praise God no matter what situation you find yourself in. It's never going to work the way you think it's going to work. And Babylon said, sing us a song. And they said, we can't sing. because we're in a foreign land. What they did not realize was although they were in a foreign land, they were not singing, they wasn't singing to a foreign God. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. If you can praise, listen, if you can praise God in Babylon, you've already got most of it whipped, baby. If you can learn how to praise God in adverse conditions, you've already won the battle. And the children of God says, we've hung our harps upon the willow tree. In other words, we've gave up the ability to praise God. We've given it up. We're not going to praise him because he didn't come through for us. And we're in a Babylon. Let me prophesy to you tonight is that we serve a God who can multiply you even in your enemy's presence. Woo! They're living in Babylon, but what they failed to realize is that they were serving a God that can multiply them in the midst of Babylon. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You see, isn't that what Jeremiah said? Listen, you got to read the scripture because sometimes we just read it and not really read it. But look what the Bible says. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse number 6. Look at it. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse number 6. It says this. Take wives, beget sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons. Give your daughters to your husbands so that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. You know what the Bible is saying? He says, even though you're in Babylon, even though you're in bondage, my will is that you increase in the bondage, that you increase in bondage, that the Lord can multiply you in the midst of bondage. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Listen, what does that mean? He prepares a table in the presence of my enemies. What do you do at a table? You eat. In other words, God says, I'm going to meet your needs in the midst of your enemies. I'm going to take care of you in the midst of your enemies. He prepares a table. Hallelujah. I could be feasting in the presence of those people that hate me. Hallelujah. He says, I want you to be productive in the midst of your predicament. Keep on living. Be productive. Don't give up. Go ahead and build your houses. Get married. Increase there. Go ahead and sing your songs. This amazes me. I get on Instagram and people have, and if you do this, it's okay. I still love you. They take a little picture with a coffee cup. You know, just it looks so Christianese, a coffee cup. I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. Plans to what? Prosper you. Not to, you know what that's referring to? This. And you know what the plan of God was? For them to be in Babylon 70 years. So when people put that on Instagram, I know the plans I have for you. What they're saying is, God wants me to be in Babylon for 70 years. Because that's this is the scripture that we're going to read in just a minute. Is that all right? Yeah, I'm just the evangelist. I'm blowing in, blowing up, and blowing out, folks. Is that all right? I'll let your pastors take care of the mess. He said, I want you to be productive in the midst of your predicament. Number two, I want you to pray for your persecutors. Verse number 7. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it. For in its peace, you will have peace. The Lord says, told Jeremiah, tell these people, go ahead and build their homes, get their hair done, get their nails done, go ahead and live life. Because you're going to be here for a while. Number two, go ahead and pray for those people that took you captive. Go ahead and pray for Babylon. Pray for your enemies. Because he said, when you begin to pray for your enemies, When you pray peace on them, you will live in peace. Whatever you pray for them, you will get the benefit of them. My friends, if you're always praying vengeance on people, then my friends, you're going to face the fruit of the vengeance. If you begin to pray peace for your enemies, you will live in peace. When people do you wrong, you know what we do? We want to push back. We want to throw words out. Listen, words create worlds. And you've got to be careful what you say about people and to whom you say it to. Words create worlds. And when you begin to speak, and when you begin to accuse, when you begin to lash out at people, then my friends, it creates worlds that you live in and worlds other people live in. And the Bible says to these people, when you feel stuck, tell these people to be productive in the midst of their predicament, but make sure you tell them to pray for Babylon. You see, the Babylonians was tools in the hand of God to bring Jerusalem and the people of God back to him. And one of the tests that God knew that these people had passed the test is the ability to pray for Babylon. I'm using Babylon to get you right. I'm using Babylon to get your heart right. I'm using your enemies to get you back to me. Maybe the person at work that gets you on your nerves is there because God put them there to sanctify you. Ooh, I'm preaching good now. I mean, some of you say, some of you complain, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know why. You know, she looks like a greasy pig at a county fair. We just want to say all we want. But maybe God put you there so that person can be sandpaper to teach you to deal conflict wisely, to teach you holiness, to teach you righteousness. Maybe he put you in a church that you don't agree with everything. He does it. You know why he does it? Because if you go to a church that you agree with everything, you'll never grow. You will never. And God's more concerned about your growth than he is about your comfort. He's more concerned about your growth than he is your comfort. He wants you to go to church with people that get on your nerves because those people will teach you to walk in holiness. It teaches you to keep your mouth shut. It teaches you to put others first. It teaches you to walk in love. It teaches you to walk in holiness. Because if there's nobody in your life that's sandpaper, you will never grow. And people forfeit their growth because they hop and jump from church to church because they don't like something. When God is saying, you're going to keep going around this mountain because I'm trying to teach you submission to authority. I'm trying to teach you growth and discipleship and spiritual formation. And you are so caught up in your preferences that you don't see that I am a father and fathers are concerned about the growth of their children. And when children disobey, I discipline them. If you claim to be a son and daughter, if you claim to be born again, and you claim to love God, God is a father, and God is more concerned about your growth than he is your comfort, and when you disobey him, he will discipline you because you are a son and daughter of the Father. And sometimes we think it's the devil and we think it's this and that. No, it's the discipline of God trying to get you in alignment so you can grow and be more like Jesus and you want to kick up against the pricks. And that is right here. God has disciplined them. He's trying to grow them. And one of the avenues of growth is, do you have the ability to pray for those who have persecuted you, those who've done you wrong? And so many times our prayer life is, Lord, bless me, fix this, do this. Lord, you know I've served you all these years. And Lord, if you can just speak to them. And Lord, if you can just, you know, Lord, they didn't. No. God is trying to teach us to be generous, not with our money, but with our prayers. generous with our time. Generous. Some people won't give you a compliment. It would break their face. Sometimes God will teach you it's okay to open your mouth and tell somebody, you look good today. I appreciate you. I'm praying for you. That's being generous. Growing in prayer. I'm teaching you to start to pray for those that hate you. It's only when they are at peace that you're going to be at peace. When Babylon is at peace, you will be at peace. Whatever you want for you, you go ahead and pray it for them. Whatever you want for you, them, you go ahead and pray it for you. You know what? The Lord spoke to me several years ago, because it's easy as a pastor that you say, well, I don't have this and they have that. Why do they have this and I don't have this? And the Lord just said, you know what you need to do? You just need to have what you call church weekly. So occasionally we get up in church and say, you know what we're going to do? We're going to pray for the First Baptist Church in Galena. Let's all stand, stretch our hands forth, and begin to pray for the First Baptist Church of Galena. We'd all stand and pray for the church. We send them a handwritten card and a gift card to the pastor to let them know we're praying for them. You know what that began to do? That began to break down barriers in my life and let me see the church instead of my church. And what you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. Hallelujah. God will make happen for you. In closing, this is interesting. Go on down here. He says, verse 8, for thus says the Lord, Jeremiah 29, verse 8, for thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets who are in the midst of you deceive you, nor listen to their dreams which they've caused to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed in Babylon, I will visit you, perform my good word towards you, and cause you to return to this place. In other words, number three, when you feel like you are stuck, not only should you be predicament in your be productive in your predicament, number two, pray for those who persecute you, but number three, you got to be careful who you surround yourself with, because there were false prophets here, and you guess what the false prophets were saying? The false prophets came to the people of God and they said this, oh, don't worry about it. You guys will only stay here 2 years. Jeremiah wrote the letter, and what did he say? Let's just see. Let's have a Bible class. Let's just, in this little Bible class, how long are they supposed to stay there? Verse one. Verse 10. You're going to be there how long? He says, don't listen to all the false who. They're prophesying 2 years to you. Now, you find that as you read down. They were prophesying just a couple years. And Jeremiah said, no. You got to stay here 70 years. You see, you got to be careful of people telling you what you want to hear when you feel like you're stuck. Because when you feel like you're stuck, you want somebody to tell you, oh, it's not your fault. Baby, you're innocent, girlfriend. You're innocent. Baby, you have nothing. Don't worry about it. They did you wrong, baby. We want to hear what pleases us when we feel like we're stuck. And Jeremiah said, I've come to correct something. You got to be careful with all these false prophets prophesying what you want to hear. You want to get out of this situation quickly. But God says, I want you here 70 years, because what I want to do in you is greater than what happened to you. You got to stay here. You got to stay here 70 years. And the people of God didn't want to hear that. Because go on, verse number 11. This is the famous little Instagram with a cup of coffee. Are y'all hearing me? Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts or the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. God is saying, tell these people, I want you to stay 70 years. That's my plan. But also I want you to realize that even though you're going to stay there 70 years, this plan is not an evil plan. It's going to be a good plan, and I'm still going to give you hope in the midst of living in Babylon. I'm going to give you hope. There's hope. Verse number 10, then they're going to call on me. They're going to go pray to me, and I will listen, and you will seek me. You will find me. You will search for me with all of your heart, and I will be found by you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back from your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places where I've driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. Amen. My friends, the word of the Lord is this, that even though you are living in Babylon, even though you may be in the worst season of your life, the word of the Lord is this, it is only temporary. It is only temporary. I'm going to bring you back to where I promised you. I'm going to bring you back to the land that I promised your forefathers, your Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm going to keep my word. Just hang on. Go ahead and be productive in the midst of your predicament. Go ahead and build your house. Go ahead and live there. Don't let it depress you. Don't let it overcome you. Go ahead and sing your song. Go ahead and worship me. I'm not a foreign God. Go ahead and pray for Babylon. Go ahead and surround yourself with people that will cause you to grow and not keep you comfortable, because I'm going to keep my promise and I will bring you out, says the Lord. I will bring you out. Somebody wave your hand and say, he's going to bring me out. You got to, the last thing you got to understand, you got to be patient on his plan. I know you're going to have to be there 70 years. I know this is not what you want. No matter how dark it looks, I got a plan. No matter how bad it looks, I got a plan. God is still working it out while I'm walking it out. He's still working it out. Those three women on Easter Sunday morning were walking to the tomb. And the Bible says they said to one another, who is going to roll the stone away for us? Those women were walking to anoint the dead body of Jesus. And as they walked, they had a conversation among themselves. Who is going to roll the stone away? But what they didn't realize, Pastor, that as they walked, God was working. I said, as they were walking, God was working. Because as they were walking and talking among themselves, God sent an angel. And that angel rolled back the stone and set upon the stone. My friends, as you are walking, I promise you, he is working. Hallelujah. So I prophesy to you tonight, be encouraged. I prophesy to you tonight, be strengthened. I prophesy to you tonight, it's only temporary. And the same God that brought you in will be the same God to bring you out. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Can we stand to our feet and give the Lord a shout of praise? Come on, put your hands together and bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Can we sing that song, I Will Not Be Shaken, I Will Not Be Moved? That's a powerful song. Can we sing that? And I want us, on the count of three, those of you that feel like you're stuck and you need encouragement, you need strength tonight, on the count of three, I want you to get out of your seat and run to the front, all right? And I want to lay hands on you on the count of three. Are you ready? I want you to come quickly. I don't want you to prolong the service, but if that's you tonight, just get out of your seat and say, Pastor, that's me. One, I want you to come. Two, three, get out of your seat. I want you to make your way to the front, and I want you to stand across the front here. I want to pray with you. Can we give God praise for those who are coming tonight? Hallelujah. Come on. If that's you tonight, get out of your seat. If that's you tonight, get out of your seat and come to the front and stand. Hallelujah. Amen. Sister, I don't know what God's doing, but God's working in your life. All right, don't be discouraged. God's working. Amen. He's going to work it out for you. Amen. Somebody praise the Lord. Amen. Just ushers, if you can just stand behind these people tonight. Amen. Go ahead and let's start singing this song. And I want you to go ahead and raise your hands. Raise your hands. And I just want you to praise God in Babylon tonight. Come on, go ahead and worship God tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, praise God. We worship you, Lord, tonight. Why would I Hallelujah.
When giants come calling my name.
Oh, sing it tonight. Hallelujah.
My God is so much bigger.
Oh, yes.
Than troubles I face.